Now the text of Scripture that the Lord has laid upon my heart for this gospel meeting tonight, you'll find really in the middle of verse number 34 of Mark's gospel, chapter number 12. And it is simply these words, "Thou art not far from the kingdom of God. Thou art not far from the kingdom of God." Now, during his public ministry here on earth, we see that the Lord Jesus Christ was one who had time for all kinds of people in society. Yes, we find him speaking with those who were religious, those who were non-religious, who had no religion whatsoever. He spoke also with children, with young people, with men and women, old and young alike, from every background and every sphere of society in his day. And in all of this, he showed his wonderful mercy, his wonderful grace, indeed his wonderful patience with sinners. And here in our Bible reading tonight, in Mark's Gospel, chapter 12, we find the Lord in conversation with a man who is described to us as a scribe. We're not told his particular name, but we learn from Scripture that he was a scribe. In other words, he was a religious Jew. He would have been a very religious man. Now, before this, the Lord was responding to questions that had been put to him by the Pharisees and by the Sadducees. And by the aim of those who had asked these particular questions was to try to find fault with the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now the scribe in our Bible reading this evening, he hears how the Lord was to answer these questions. And upon hearing this, he makes a comment, he makes a decision in his own heart and mind. It says there in verse number 28, regarding the scribe, upon hearing how the Lord answered the questions of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, it says, he perceived that he had answered them well. In other words, he was impressed by what he had heard. And he was impressed about how the Lord had dealt with these questions that had been put to him. And then we see how this scribe, following on from this in verse 28, he asks the Lord a question. And the question is this: which is the first commandment of all? And the Lord takes up that question and the Lord answers that question for the scribe. And you have that answer there in verse 29. Verse 30, verse 31 of the chapter, verse 29 says, "And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these." And now this is the answer the Lord gives to this scribe. And we see how the scribe, he consents to this answer. He agrees with this answer. And you see that in verse 32 of the chapter, it says of the scribe that he said, "Master, thou hast said the truth." He was in agreement with what Christ has just said. And then following on from this, in verse 34, in the words of our text, Christ speaks to this gentleman and he says to him, "Thou art not far from the kingdom of God." In other words, here was a man and he was not far from being saved. Here was a certain individual. He was not far from becoming a Christian. People, it is these same words that I want us to look at and to consider this evening. Our text says here, "Thou art not far from the kingdom of God." And I believe this is the Lord's word for some individual in this meeting house tonight, or for some individual who may be listening to this message online. Thou art not far from the kingdom of God. And as we think upon these words, there are three things I want you to notice in particular about this man to whom the Lord addressed these particular words. First of all, we can say tonight that these words, "Thou art not far from the kingdom of God," were spoken to a man of great perception. They were spoken to a man of great perception. You see, being a scribe, this man was really, if you like, a lawyer in the land of Israel. This was a man who would have been well versed with the statute books of the laws of God and the commandments of God and the land of Israel. Here's a man, and he would have had an excellent knowledge of God's word, the commandments of God, indeed, the very law of God itself. Why, this is very evident from his reaction to the answers which Christ gave to the Sadducees regarding the resurrection. Notice the answer there of Christ in particular to that question put to him by the Sadducees regarding the resurrection in verse 26 and verse 27. Christ answers that question. And he says, as touching the dead, that they rise, have ye not read in the book of Moses, that's the law of God, the Old Testament, how in the bush God speak unto him, saying, I am the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. Ye therefore do greatly err. That was the answer that Christ gave to the Sadducees regarding the resurrection. Verse 28 tells us how the scribe believed this to be a good answer from the lips of Christ. Look at verse 28. It says, and one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, and perceived that he, that is Christ, had answered them well. And he was in agreement with what Christ has said. And this response is because he too was aware. He had a perception of what God's Word said in the Old Testament regarding the resurrection. Here was a man, and he was well versed in the Word of God. He had a tremendous knowledge of what the Word of God says. And then whenever Christ gives his answer to the scribe's own question in verse 28, which is the first commandment, and the Lord gives that answer in verses 29 to 31. We've already mentioned that in our introduction tonight. The scribe then says in turn in verse 32 of the chapter, well, Master, thou hast said the truth. He knew what Christ had said was the truth. It was in accordance with the Word of God. And again, it shows to you and I the perception of this man. Again, the scribe knew that the Lord's answer was in accordance with God's Word. It was thus, and thus saith the Lord. Indeed, the scribe himself reiterates words similar to the very words of Christ. Look at verse 32 and verse 33 of the chapter. It says, and the scribe said unto him, well, Master, thou hast said the truth, for there is one God. He knew this. There is one God, and there is none other but He. And to love Him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. Here's a man, and he's actually quoting the very Word of God itself, quoting from the Old Testament. My, his answer is in agreement with the very answer that Christ had given to him when he asked the Lord the question, which is the first commandment? With promise, and the Lord says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. And then he went on to say, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And this man, in consenting to the answer of Christ, re-echoes really what Christ himself said. You see, here was a man of great perception. Here was a man, and the Word of God was no stranger to his heart and to his mind and to his soul. Here was a man who had great knowledge of the Word of God, yet see what Christ says to him tonight in our text. He says to this very same man who knew all these very things about the Word of God, he says, thou art not far from the kingdom of God. He was a man of great perception, a man indeed of great knowledge, yet sadly he is still not saved. Sadly he is still not a Christian. He's still not converted, for Christ makes that plain in our text when he says to him, thou art not far from the kingdom of God. Here is a man, yes, he knew about God's word. He knew about God. Indeed, he knew about God's kingdom. But sadly, we see from the words of Christ in our text, he could say of this man that he was not in God's kingdom. He had not entered into the kingdom and the family and the fold of God. He was still shut out of the kingdom and the family of God, unsaved. Friend, tonight in our meeting tonight, I wonder, is this scribe a picture of you? Is this scribe that we're looking at tonight a picture of someone in this gathering? Yes, like this man, you too have a great knowledge of the Word of God. You know the Word of God. You're acquainted with the Word of God. You have a perception in your heart and mind about what God's Word says and God's Word teaches. You know there's one God in heaven. You know about God's kingdom, the kingdom of God. Yet sadly, you too are still not saved. Indeed, as you sit in this meeting tonight, you're still outside of the kingdom of God, outside of the family and the very fold of God. Oh, could it be that this scribe is a picture of some soul, some individual in this gospel service here tonight? Turn with me back, please, to the Old Testament book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter number 45. Look with me, please, at verse 21 and verse 22 of this chapter. Here we have some tremendous words, vital words from the Lord about Himself and about salvation. And it says in verse 21 of Isaiah chapter 45, He says, "Tell ye and bring them near. Yea, let them take counsel together who have declared this from ancient time, who have told it from that time. Have not I the Lord, and there is no God else beside me? A just God and a Savior, there is none beside me. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else." What words these are that we read in these verses. God tells us there is but one God. He alone, the God of heaven and earth. God tells us here that He is the Savior of men, the Savior of sinners. And He makes it very clear to us here by looking to Him in faith, by trusting in the Lord in faith, whoever we are, whatever our background is, that we can be saved from our sins and entered into the kingdom of God. And here we have one of the greatest gospel statements in all of the Old Testament scriptures. And what words these are. You know, there are many tonight in our world, and they perhaps have no knowledge of these words whatsoever. Many tonight in our world, and they have no knowledge of what these words mean. Yes, there's many tonight in our world, and they have never heard these words or what these words mean. There's many like that. Across our land, indeed across the nations of the world, yes, there are many like that. No knowledge of God's Word, no knowledge of God's truth. No knowledge of the gospel. How important then it is that God's people are a missionary-minded people. Do all they can to spread the gospel among the nations of the world. Yes, there are many, no knowledge of that. But friend, this is not so with you tonight in this meeting. These words, indeed the truths found therein, are things that you know. Things that you have often heard. Things that you understand and perceive in your own heart and mind. You know, yes, there's only one God, the God of heaven. You know that there's only one who can save you from your sins, and that is the Lord. You know that to be saved from your sins, you've got to look to the Lord and trust in the Lord and confess your sins to the Lord and rest upon Him alone for salvation. You know these things. You have a knowledge of these things in your heart and mind. Yes, like this scribe that we're looking at here tonight in Mark's Gospel, chapter number 12, you have a knowledge of these things. Knowledge of God's Word. But alas, you're still not saved. Alas, as you sit in this meeting tonight, you're outside of the kingdom of God. Friend, can I say to you this evening, it's a wonderful blessing to know the Word of God. That's a blessing we should never ever take for granted. It's a tremendous blessing to know the Word of God even from our earliest of days. It's a wonderful blessing to know the great truths of God's Word and all that is entailed in the Word of God and the Gospel. But let me say this, it is not enough to save your precious, never-dying soul. to know the Word of God, indeed even to be able to quote the Word of God, and to know what it means and to know what it says, it is not enough to save your soul, to make you right with God, and to fit you for heaven. Hence the Lord, as He speaks to you in this meeting tonight, even with your perception, even with your knowledge of the Word of God, He says to your soul, thou art not far from the kingdom of God. Oh, see tonight that the knowledge and the perception of the Word of God, good as though it may be and a wonderful blessing, is not enough to save your soul and to fit you for heaven and to make you right with God. But then we can say in the second place tonight, these words, thou art not far from the kingdom of God, were also spoken to a man of great privilege. Yes, they were spoken to a man of great privilege. And this privilege is really seen in the fact here in this chapter that this man, the scribe, was now in the immediate presence of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. He was face to face with Christ. He was speaking to the very Son of God. He was speaking to the Messiah. He was in conversation with Him. He was speaking to the One who is the very way to God, the very way to heaven. For He Himself has said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me. Here's this scribe, and he's talking to him who is the very door to heaven, the very door to God's kingdom. For Jesus says, I am the door, by Me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. What a privilege this man enjoyed to be in the immediate presence of Christ. The way to heaven, the way to God's kingdom, the way to salvation, the very door to God's favor, to God's kingdom. And my Christ, He became this way to God. He became this very door into God's kingdom by coming to this world in God's time as the sinless Son of God. And by dying on the cross, and there He shed His blood. And by His shed blood, He satisfied the just demands of God's holy law that sin must be punished. And by that satisfaction to God, Christ made a way. He opened up a way for poor, lost, guilty, hell-deserving sinners such as you and I. He made a way for us to be saved. To be saved from our sins and to enter into God's kingdom and God's family. This was the whole grand purpose of Christ coming to this world. Turn back a little bit there in your Bible tonight to Mark chapter 10, just a few chapters back. Notice how Christ Himself speaks of this very purpose in His coming to this world in verse number 45 of the chapter. He says in Mark chapter 10, speaking of Himself, for even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto or to minister, but He says to give His life. Notice it. Give His life a ransom for many. Speaking there of His death, of His blood shedding, of His sacrifice, of His crucifixion upon the cross. What for? To make a way of salvation for lost, guilty, ruined sinners such as you and I in the meeting tonight. And my, the message of the gospel is this, that a moment a repentant sinner believes on Christ for salvation, that very moment, they enter into God's kingdom. They enter into to God's family. The hymn writer was right when they said that a moment a vilest offender who truly believes, that moment, they said from Jesus, a pardon receives. That's what Christ has come to do, to provide pardon, salvation, a way into God's kingdom, a way into God's family. And here this man, the scribe, was in the very presence of Christ who'd come to do this, and he was soon going to die for sinners upon the cross. What a privilege then was afforded to this man to be in the company of Christ, to be in the presence of Christ. Surely this is the greatest of all privileges. There's no greater privilege in this than for a man to be in the presence of Christ. This was his privilege that day, to speak face to face with the Son of God, the Savior of sinners, the Messiah. You know, as well as having the privilege of Christ's presence and being in Christ's presence. This man also had another great privilege, and that was the fact that he would have been a man who would have been in the company of others, who had a similar regard and respect for the Word of God as himself. He was a scribe. He would have trained in the school of the Jewish scribes, and they together with those who had a great respect and reverence for the Word of God and the things of God, just like this man had himself. That too was another great privilege afforded to this man. But sadly, despite these wonderful privileges, this man was still not saved. For Christ spoke to him in our text, and he says to him here in Mark's Gospel, chapter number 12 and the verse number 34. He says, "Thou art not far from the kingdom of God." Friend, let me ask tonight, is this a picture of you in our gospel meeting tonight? Yes, throughout your life, perhaps you have had the tremendous privilege of being in gospel meetings where the Lord's presence has been known and felt, where the Lord's blessing has been evident. That's a tremendous blessing. The Lord promises in His Word, He says, "Where two or three are gathered together in My name, there am I in the midst." Now, you're no stranger to this great privilege of being in meetings with the blessing and the presence of the Lord has been known. Also in your life, you've been in the company of other Christians. What a blessing that is to have the company of other Christians, those who have known the Savior, those who have loved the Savior, who have served the Savior, who have worshipped the Savior. Maybe a loved one, a family member. Maybe somebody that you work with. Maybe a neighbor. You've been in the company of such people. And my, this is a tremendous blessing indeed. Why? Because God's people are the salt of the earth. God's people, we are told, are the light of the world. And it's a wonderful privilege and blessing that we should not take for granted the company and the fellowship and the friendship of God's people. You have had this privilege, the presence of the Lord, the blessing of God, the company, the presence of God's people witnessing to you, being with you in life. What privileges these are. But despite these great privileges, dear friend, in this meeting tonight, you're still not saved. As God speaks to you, and as you think over these privileges in your own life, He says to you tonight in this text, He says, "Thou art not far from the kingdom of God." It's a great blessing, a great bounty to have spiritual privileges. We should not discount them for one moment. But let me say to you tonight, dear friends, that the best of spiritual privileges cannot save you. They cannot fit you for heaven. They cannot meet the need of your precious, never-dying soul. Yes, here was a man of great perception. Here was a man, we could say, of great privilege. But notice in the third place tonight, these words, "Thou art not far from the kingdom of God," were also spoken to a man who was in great peril. They were spoken to a man who was in great peril because being outside the kingdom of God, this man, to whom Christ addressed these words, was still lost in his sins. He was still dead in trespasses and in sins. He was still under God's condemnation. He was still on the broad way to a lost eternity and hell itself, despite not being far from the kingdom of God. Despite his knowledge, despite the perception of the Word of God that he had in his life, despite the privilege of the company of the Lord and others in his life, no doubt, who cherished the Word of God, this man was in great peril because he was a man who could die at any moment. And if he died in his sin without his sins being forgiven by God, then his soul would be lost forever. Lost in hell's fire for all of eternity. Yes, he would be forever shut out of God's kingdom. Forever shut out, closed out of that place of everlasting joy and life and peace and righteousness, the kingdom of God forever closed out from such a place. Oh, see here, here was a man in great peril. You see, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. The outcome of sin is death. Not just physical death, but eternal death and separation from God and hell. The Bible says, whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That speaks of those outside of the kingdom of God and the day of judgment before the Lord. Here was a man, he had great perception, great knowledge. He had great privileges, he had great blessing. But oh, he was a man in extreme danger, a man in immense peril. For if he died, and he could die at any moment, his soul would be forever lost in his sin and nature's darkness forever. And you know, the peril of this scribe is really similar to many others that we read about in the Scriptures. The Scripture speaks of those, yes, who had great privileges, spiritual privileges, and a great knowledge of God's Word and the way of salvation. Yet sadly, such perished in their sin. Such were lost in their sin. You think of Cain tonight. Way back at the beginning of time in the book of Genesis, he knew about God. He knew about God's way of salvation, that the only way he could have acceptance with God was through the Lamb, through the sacrifice, through the shed blood. But he thought he could go to God his own way with the fruits of his hands and the labor of his hands. And the Bible says God had not respect unto Cain's offering. The Bible tells us this about Cain. Even though God spoke to him and he knew the way of salvation, it says, and Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. He went away from the Lord. He rejected the Lord, the way of salvation. And he perished in his sin. You think tonight also of Judas Iscariot, the false disciple, in the presence of Christ for some 3 years in the very public ministry of Christ. Judas Iscariot knew the gospel. Yet what did he do with Christ? He rejected Christ. He betrayed Christ for 30 pieces of silver. He turned away from the Lord. And the Bible tells us he realized his folly. He hanged himself. And the Bible says this. He went to his own place. And that place is a lost eternity. And hell itself, he died. He perished in his sin. Why? Because he rejected Christ. He turned his back upon the Son of God despite knowing that Christ was the Savior. Again, you think tonight of King Agrippa. And Paul the Apostle witnessed to him of Christ and of the Gospel, that Christ had come and Christ had died upon the cross and risen again. Paul preached to him. And what did Agrippa say to Paul? He said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. He was almost identical to this scribe. Almost at the kingdom of God, yet still out of the kingdom of God. He died in his sin. He perished in his sin. He left no testimony of God's saving grace. Despite what he knew, what was needed of him to be a Christian. Think again tonight of Abner, the captain of the king's forces in the day of David. And David lamented the death of Abner. And what did he say? He said, died Abner as a fool dieth. Abner was slain at the very entrance to the place of refuge, the place of safety. He was near, but he was not near enough to the place of salvation. David said, died Abner, a fool dieth. He had great knowledge, but it did not bring him into the place of safety. He turned away, and my, he perished. Friend, on sea of tonight, let me say this like this scribe. Realize this in the meeting. Whoever you are in the meeting tonight, on sea of. Whoever you are listening in online tonight, on sea of like this scribe before us, on sea of, friend, you too are in great peril. See this tonight. For in your on sea of state, you are standing literally in the precipice of a lost eternity in hell. You are on the verge of the eternal fires of a lost eternity in hell in your unsaved state. That's where you are tonight. And if you die in your sin, and you could die at any moment, David says there's but a step between me and death. There's but a step between us and death. But a very second between us and death. If you died in your sin, then your soul too will be lost in hell forevermore. You shall be forevermore shut out of the kingdom of God. forevermore shut out of the family of God. For the Bible says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? There's no escaping the wrath to come. If you go on in your sin and you die in your sin and you perish in your sin, you're lost forever, shut out of the kingdom of God, condemned to a lost eternity in hell. Friend, in light of this awful ruin, in light of this awful peril, in light of this awful danger, do not delay. Even tonight, in coming to Christ for salvation. The Bible says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. This is what you must do. This is your responsibility as a sinner before God. You must seek the Lord. You must trust the Lord. You must call upon the Lord to be your own and personal Savior. Invite him into your heart to take away your sins, to cleanse away your sins by his precious blood, and to save your precious, never dying soul. The Bible says, behold, now is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. This is not a matter to put off to next Sunday or next week or next month or next year, no. The Bible says, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. The Lord says, come now. Let us to reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. There was once a young married man who was spoken to about his need of salvation, his need of trusting Christ for salvation, the need of trusting Christ as Savior. And that young man, he said, this was a matter for later on in life. Whenever I get old, I have things to do, things to tend to. I have my life to live. In fact, he told that person, do not speak to me again about this matter of being saved. A short time later, that young man took seriously ill, and his wife sent for that same Christian again to come and to speak to him. And that Christian man went to that young man. He read the scriptures with him. He prayed with him. He counseled him. He spoke to him again about his need of salvation. And yet again, the young man still would not listen. A short time later, he became unconscious. He died. Perished in his sin without leaving any testimony whatsoever of God's saving grace. And my in his death, all opportunity, yes, every opportunity to get saved, to get right with God was gone and gone forever. And God gone forevermore. Oh, see the peril tonight. If you die in your sin, your soul is lost. Lost forever. Lost without hope. Lost without God. Forever cut off from God. Forever shut out from the kingdom of God. Friend, I say to you tonight, do not turn away from Christ. Do not turn away from the gospel. Do not think that privileges and the knowledge of God's word and the things of God, that these things in themselves are good enough to save you. No. To be saved, you must come by faith to Christ. You must trust him. Personally rest upon him. Think of Nicodemus. Many ways a picture of this scribe. He came to Jesus by night. The Lord said, Nicodemus, you must be born again. Nicodemus, you must trust in me, Christ was saying. He went on and he said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in me should not perish, but have everlasting life. Friend, if you're not saved tonight in this meeting, man, woman, young person, boy or girl, you must be born again. You must come to Christ. Christ invites you. He calls you. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor under heavy laden. And I, he says, will give you rest. He'll save you. He'll forgive your sins. He'll give you a new life, a new start in life. He'll give you a new home. New home in glory, new home in heaven. Oh, don't go away tonight far from the kingdom of God, but go away from this meeting tonight in the kingdom of God, in Christ, knowing Christ as your Savior and your Lord forevermore. We're going to close our meeting tonight by singing together the hymn number 269. 269. The hymn writer says, I've wandered far away from God. Now I'm coming home. The paths of sin too long I've trod. Lord, I'm coming home. We're going to sing the first and the second verse, and then verses 5 and 6, along with, of course, leaving out verses 3 and 4. We'll stand as we sing, and thinking of the words as we sing, and if you're not saved tonight, oh, that you'd make this hymn the prayer of your heart, and that you'd come home tonight to Christ and trust Him, whom to know is life eternal. Verse 1, 2, and 5 and 6, along with the chorus, standing as we sing. Close our meeting in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy presence with us tonight. We thank Thee for Thy precious word. Bless it to our hearts. Bless it to our souls. We thank Thee, Lord, for all in this meeting tonight who can rejoice that they're safely in the kingdom of God and ready for heaven, ready for glory. They've been to Jesus for the cleansing power. But Lord, for any in the meeting tonight and they have not this hope, they're still afar outside of the kingdom of God. Speak to them tonight, even while man's voice is silent. And Lord, may they come tonight and taste and see that the Lord is good and trust Him as Savior and as Lord. Answer prayer. Bless your word to this end. Take us now to our homes in safety. Give us traveling mercies, each one. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the abiding fellowship and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with all who know and love thee this night and always. Amen. Amen.